William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Disinvited Guest, a novel by Carol Goodman, performed by Imani Jade Powers. To Stephen T. Dunn, Friend of the Arts, 1954 to 2021. Chapter 1.
We're here.
Reed's voice wakes me from the fitful sleep I'd fallen into somewhere north of Portland, the slap of wipers and sluice of tires accomplishing what bourbon and sleeping pills had failed to do for the past 2 weeks. I open my eyes to a wall of sodden gray, the color of wet cement. I can feel it pressing down my throat. I cough. Reed swivels his head toward me, blue eyes feverish in the gloom above his white surgical mask. I'm fine. I reach for the water bottle and swig lukewarm water that tastes like copper. The others?
Behind us. Crosby's driving like an old woman, trying to protect his precious Volvo's paint job. Honestly, for a supposed socialist, he likes the trappings of the bourgeoisie.
He grins, his bones sharpening under sallow skin. With all the stress of the recent news and preparations to come to the island, neither of us has been eating much for the past few weeks. They could have gotten lost. Reed shakes his head.
There's just the one road and it ends here.
He points to something outside, a weathered gray sign. Land's End. Pass at your own risk. I shiver. Reed places his hand on my forehead. It feels good to be touched. When was the last time we touched? But I shrug it away. I'm fine, I say again.
Check.
I take the thermometer gun out of the cup holder and aim it at my forehead, peering into the fog until an electronic voice pronounces the number 98.6. Normal, I say. Nothing is normal. Nothing has been normal for months, maybe longer. I hear tires on gravel behind us.
They're here,
Reed says. I want him to touch me again, but we promised we wouldn't until we were sure we were both safe, and Reed always keeps his promises. He's gotten us this far, hasn't he?
Ready?
I nod. A lie. I hadn't been ready for any of this. Not when the first cases were reported, or my classes at the college went remote, or the restaurants and stores closed. None of us had. Except for Reed. Somehow he had seen it coming and had a plan set in place when most people were still pretending it wasn't real. Now he's opening the car door and stepping out into the fog, moving forward as if the path is clear. I follow him into the mist toward a car that looks unfamiliar. My heart rate speeds up and my skin turns clammy. Reed had warned that the locals might not like us coming up here, carrying our contagion from the big cities. A woman at a rest stop outside of Portland had pressed her unmasked face against the passenger side window and hissed, "Go back where you came from." Who knows what crazed vigilantes might be in the grimy car? Then I recognize Crosby's beige Volvo beneath the mud splatter and Ada getting out of the car. Her curly red hair looks like it has exploded into a corona around her masked face, like the virus itself has surrounded her with its pestilent nimbus. The spark in her eyes, though, brings me back to the 18-year-old who greeted me at the door of our freshman dorm with a red solo cup of watery beer. Now she's holding up a thermometer gun.
98.6, bitches, she crows. The only thing normal about me. We have to take them together, Reed says. Hello to you too,
Crosby says, his loafers sinking into the mud as he gets
sample complete. Ready to continue?